How's it going, Lewis? You good, yeah?
I'm good, mate, and it's good to talk to you after a while, after the brutal march of prisoner of war. But it's good to be here, mate, and see you again. Yes.
It's September 14th. The film comes out on the 19th. Don't know when this interview will drop. Got to edit it in between making this movie. We're both wearing glasses now.
But not for
So,
vision, not for vision.
just want to get the word out on Prisoner
Yeah.
of War, which is a fantastic movie that I'm extremely proud of. And it was directed by my good friend and debt collector buddy, Lewis Mandelor. Well done, mate.
Thanks,
Did a
buddy.
great job.
Thanks, mate.
Excellent
Yes.
job. I always felt that you'd be a good director because when we were doing The Debt Collector, it was a very short schedule, wasn't it? You didn't
Yeah.
really have time to work things out on the set. So me and you would be in a tiny trailer going over all these scenes and tweaking them.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
by the time we came out on the set, we knew what to do. But
Yep.
those conversations with you as an actor really clued me into that you're very aware as a filmmaker as well. So I had no doubt that you'd do a good job.
Thanks, mate.
And
Yeah,
you
and
did.
then I've been doing a few, obviously promoting the film, and they asked me, interestingly enough, they asked me, how did the relationship change from actor, actor to actor, director? And my response was similar. I said, you know, it didn't really change at all, other than I was directing and he was the star, but our process was the same. And I referenced The Debt Collector, how we brought the script on this particular case, your story, Mark wrote the script, and then we built it once it was on its feet. And then on the set, we kind of did what we did with The Debt Collector, which was, you know, we'd address the issues, we'd rehearse, we'd say yes, no, how about this, how about that, and we elevated it. So the process was the same, and the only difference was you trusted me with your career.
You come to my dojo. Revive shame for my family. You bring trouble and dishonor. Now, Mr. Wright, I'll give you trouble.
Well, so what happened day one?
Day one, we're all pumped. We've finally made it happen. We've weathered a typhoon, a this foon, a big silver spoon. We've gone through it all, and what do you know? The first scene, we've built the dojo, and everyone's pumped, and everyone's posting, and action, and we do a shot, and then second setup, Mr. The Machine has to, James Wright throws a left kick to the head, and we say action, and zip, pop. Everything went quiet. Scott, man down, and he's like, "Sorry, Lewis, you sit down." I run up to you, get him some ice, and you just sat there, and everyone went white.
I went
As you
white.
would, as you would. You too. No,
I remember the
you were
stunt
so
guy
pissed
heard it
off, mate.
pop. The stunt guy heard it pop, and I just remember saying to everyone, "I'm sorry, I'm
Yeah, you
sorry."
kept saying, "I'm sorry." Yeah, but you know, looking back, it's an interesting morning. I won't even get into it, but there was a different, in other words, warming up and prepping. But when you make a movie, as you know, sometimes you just go. Nonetheless, what I say. We remained calm, and I again another storm we had to deal with. But as an artist, as whatever it is, whatever job, but as a filmmaker, you got to find these curses and turn them into blessings. So tell me if you agree. We had to redesign some of the scenes, and we incorporated a little more judoka, some throws and some chokes, and I felt like it added a little layer to your action that ended up being a nice curse, so to speak. I don't know if you
Yeah, I
agree,
think
but we had
it
to adjust.
probably in some ways helped the movie because the action's got to fit the tone of the film, I always say.
Yeah,
And
yes,
it's very
of
easy
course.
to lean into, oh, you know, Scott's here. He's known for his kicks. We'll do a load of triple kicks and special kicks and flying kicks, which is all good. And I'm not sure how much that would have changed the movie, but the fact that we were forced to make it in a more of a gritty, realistic sort of way probably was more in line with the telling of the movie and your vision, which was, you
Sure.
know, played for real. It's not like
Yeah.
it's over the top martial arts that we needed. We needed it to be like a guy who's fighting for his
Yeah.
life.
Yeah, and once you went down, I remember sidebarring with Alvin and Stephen Rennie, who was incredible with the coordination. And we discussed, I said, look, man, let's just stick with the rules. And Stephen was a karate guy, which helped. But we had, I don't tell people, we had rules because that was the Second World War era. There was a lot of things that weren't being done then. So I remember we'd discuss the judoka and the throwing and whatever that was existing in that period. And we incorporated with the narrative, with your travels. So everything balanced out and made perfect sense. We didn't break any rules. And I'm happy about that too. So trying to stay, you know, authentic within that period wasn't easy, mate. Because, yeah, you can do things that I assume they weren't doing then. And we had to, like, pull you back a little in some ways. So that scene, we tried to show A, the cinema of the moment. We brought the jungle into the movie, and I tried to do that through the whole movie. It was definitively a character. But those moments you take are reflective of you being at that elite level. You're listening to the wind, the birds, the sun, every footstep. And obviously, we build it to where you disassociate yourself from the moment, and you relinquish everything. And you put yourself at his mercy, waiting for that one mistake. And it comes. That's the symbolism behind it. So you're in tune with every vibration around you. And as he, when the insert goes to the ear, you know, and the sting, it's visually stunning. And that's what I mean by trying to bring visual into story. The story was never lost. We're pushing the story because James Wright. Yeah, and then the sound design to support the story again, because you're listening and you hear the crispy leaf on that insert of the foot, and it's kill time. I remember we discussed it's a martial arts movie first, and you said as much cinema, but don't forget it's a martial arts movie. Then we discussed about the fantasy, about the forbidden move, which we'll get to, I guess, in a minute. And then we both agreed that the whole point about this movie, the World War is the background. It's the relationship between Ito and James. And the movie, to me, begins when you first meet. And he underestimates you for a master. And that's the art of war. You dismiss him, behead him, boom. Not only do you come back, you kill his best friend, right? So we agreed on you having this special, like a real true master, a little bit of that martial arts throwback that we love with cinema. So you were at a level that he couldn't even comprehend until he releases you at the end. That's the director's story. He says, no way, this is a legend. He deserves to live. And all the shit he did, he's given back to you at that point.
Yeah, we had a lot of conversations about, well, how martial arts did we take this?
Yeah.
And we came across something that wasn't in the original script. But because of your background in martial arts and what you've encountered with the iron palm, the iron fist training, with your Sifu Winston Omega,
correct,
to give that to my character, and something that Ito would recognize as, oh, this is special. This guy knows something that even I don't fully understand.
Yes. That, and again, as the filmmaker, the author, in a sense of the film, when we incorporated him doing it through the desk, he's been looking for this. So he's like, you know, I'm like halfway there. This guy's, how does he, what this is, every martial artist, correct me if I'm wrong, who listens to this, at some point you've had the conversation, I know a dude who knows the death, you know, you've always, the old Jet Li movies, it's the old death punch, you know, but somehow we incorporated in there. Yeah. And I'm thankful for you, you had faith, because we both thought right to the end, is it too much? But I got to tell you, at the end, and that amazing actor at the end, when I told him, by the way, when he shows you, when he finally shows it to you, I said, it's orgasmic, bro. It's like you see God. And it would be if someone did that to you, right? Because we're all searching for this, our whole martial arts life. And then someone shows you that it exists. So it does pay off. You know, it's a beautiful moment. I nearly cry at that moment. I'm like, this is beautiful. I mean, I spend a month and a half in my room prior to getting to any set. I direct storyboarding and illustrating. I lens it. And as you know, I do my own choreography with the actors leading into the action. And Nicolò De Loffredo, who you've worked with a few times, he's amazing. He's my right hand.
Still can't say his name, though.
I always mess it up.
Say it again.
Nicolò De Loffredo. I don't even know if that's right. Sorry, Nicolò.
Nicolò De Loffredo. Yeah.
De Loffredo.
I just go Nicola De La...
Well, as you know, Nick D, we'll call him Nick D, yeah?
Yeah,
Nick D. Is a beast. So we discussed big lenses, no handheld, just studio-esque, man, steady, you know, tracks, etc. And the thing about you that I keep saying is we don't need to cut away and cheat. We want to see our star do these movements. So that's with the action and mixing that in with the narrative. Yeah, man, I love cinema. They laugh for me for that word, the crew and my partners.
Cinema. That was the most set phrase. Cinema.
Yeah, because they would say, Lewis, why is that going to work? Because it's cinema, God damn it. That would be my excuse for everything. But I meant it. Because sometimes it's narrative, sometimes it's visual. And as a filmmaker, you got to ask yourself, well, this is beautiful, but how can I intertwine the two? Moments like when Ito approaches you when you're tied up. I had him stand there and no words. And I remember saying to you guys, just eyeball each, you know, just eyeball. Uh-huh. And we let that play out. And there's moments like that that breathe through the movie. And I feel like that's what makes it, I guess, that plus other things gives it another layer that the audience are appreciating. It's not your typical over the shoulders and cut and your masters. It's not like, let's get to the dialogue. No, on the contrary, we decided, and again, my producers and Wellgo trusted, and the movie runs a little longer than the regular movies. I wanted it even longer, but there's rules. But we got enough of those moments. Yeah, man, so it's risky. But if you feel when you're shooting it as a filmmaker that, I mean, you're digging it because you have the edit in your head, you know, you got to trust in it. And this time, I hope people appreciate it, man. Yeah.
Well.
And one more thing, people may understand that. I think they all know it, but Scott Adkins, you know, you're the action hero and the icon at the moment. But I keep telling everyone, mate, you can act with any of them, the best of them. And I've got a lot. I did like 40 interviews, and I've got like, you know, 1,000 messages on social media. Your performance in this is like real, like Hollywood old style movie star stuff, and everyone's seeing it. And I think we gave you the opportunity to play, and you breezed through it. People don't know, you just came and you went smash, and it was just great. So yeah, man, performances are important in action movies too, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Chun-san, 連れてきました.
Endo, どうなってる?
こいつは逃げ出しました。ですが、ジャングルの罠にかかったようです。平野を呼べ。残念ながら、それはできません。どうして?平野伍長とその部下は、この英国人に殺されました。Because
you're such a great actor, and we've had many chats about the craft of acting, and you've given me lots of advice. But to have you there as a director, you know, I would, you know, I think one time, a few times I just literally said to you, because, you know, you never want to give a line reading to an actor, but I would just say, well, how would you say it? Because, you know, I trust you like that. So to be able to feel, because
I remember one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know which?
I remember, well, it happened a lot, but I remember one really great moment. It's one of my favorite moments of the film, and it's just so subtle. It's the one when you get captured, and after you behead, and you come in, and you're in Ito's tent. He comes around, and he looks at you, and he says, "That was Ito was Endo was my one of my best friends or something," and you say, "My condolences." And we had a rehearsal, and then I said, "All right, boys, come together." And I remember saying to Peter, "Don't be looking at him, because you're looking at the cross, number one." And Peter said, "Dig it, I like it." So he says, "My so and so was my best friend." And then I said to you, buddy, really mean it. When you say my condolences, and that should surprise him, you know, because you're being an earnest gentleman. Like, I'm really sorry about that. And it was just so layered at that point. Yeah. And then we did it, and it worked so beautifully.
Corporal Hirano was like a brother to me.
My sincerest condolences.
Well, you've got great instincts. Acting instincts, and you know what it's like. Sometimes you can be working with the director, and it's like, I'm not sure I trust his instincts or his tone when it comes to the acting. So I'm going to have to look after myself. It's hard to trust and try different things and know that they're going to steer you in the right direction. Of course, with you, I had that because you're such a good actor. So
thanks, mate. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Turned out you're a really good director as well. So you got it all covered.
I do, buddy. I'm planning to do more. I can't wait. I really, it's made for me because I'm obsessive. You know me. I don't want to rest. I don't sleep. I illustrate, and I like the visionary status of it. So yeah, I'm really into this directing thing. I remember when we sent Scott the lock picture. Correct me if I'm wrong. I was in Australia at the point, I think, and you messaged me and said, I've got the screener, but I'm a little tired. I'm going to sleep. It was midnight or something. And then you called me 15 minutes later and you said, mate, I'm so exhausted, but I think I'm going to watch another 20 minutes. And then the next day I get a message. You said you watched the whole thing till 2 a.m. and then you watched it again.
Yeah, I was hooked.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the greatest feeling from a filmmaker to get from their star, buddy. It made me.
Especially when it's a movie that you're in, because, you know, the first time you watch it, you just normally, I just hate everything about myself. And so I have to get through that. Then I watch the film another couple of times, and only then can I enjoy the movie for what it actually is. But I didn't have that experience because everything was working.
Yeah.
And I got instantly hooked into it. And I think the first 30 minutes, it's like, it's great.
I wanted to reference a lot of Papillon, one of my favorite movies, and 3 hours of almost no dialogue. It's just one of the greatest movies to me, but it's slow and it's methodical. I knew we couldn't do that with this, but that first 20 minutes is my Papillon. You know, it's a little homage.
Yeah, but it's not slow. There's not a lot going on. It's
in the screenings, for those of you who haven't seen it, there's the first sequence where Scott gets attacked more or less, and you do the jump kick. And you kick him into the boom boom, that moment, every screening I've been to, the audience just goes nuts because it's built up. The big jump, the slow-mo, like there's a scream there, but that double kick, and it's one after another. And then it's Kasugi goes, and then it's like everyone, the reaction, buddy, it was just warmed my heart. But that's one of my favorite moments. We ramp it.
And then, what people don't know is that the doing of that was complete chaos.
That was crazy.
Because we're like trying to, we can see the clouds coming over and you're like, right, it's about to piss down in a minute. We are screwed. We've got to get this shot right now. Otherwise, we'll... Meanwhile, I'm in my tent and there's a flipping river running through it. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to get my laptop out of the way. Jesus Christ.
I don't know what we were thinking, making this movie in the rainy season. Here's my lovely tent. This...
It's so true. And in a previous interview I said, as everyone was going through their thing, but for me, I had the editor, God bless Austin Nordell, who cut this so perfectly. He always does, he's a savant. But I had him on one phone, I had Klebby in my ear, then I had Nico in my face, and I'm like, wait a minute, it's raining, it's not raining, it's clouding, it's sunny. And it would happen over and over again. So we just had to be smart. And I had to pick things that I knew I could blend at some point. But what you can't control is you're in the middle of a take, and then all of a sudden it goes from a torrential, dark, gray moment to a beautiful, hot, sunshining day. That you can't fix, and that happened a lot. So, yeah, plus the rivers running through the set. But, hey, man, that's how you squeeze in some magic through that mayhem, yeah?
The music, the sound design.
Yes.
You know, who did the music?
A gentleman called Tassos, one of the new crew, so to speak. Tassos, I don't want to mispronounce his second name, but he's on the credit, music by Tassos. Amazing score. Yeah. One of Austin Nordell's guys, Jonathan Combs, did the sound design. And we got an A crew on this, man. These guys, you know, they're in. They're just fantastic.
And the CGI as well.
Yeah.
Computer generated effects.
That was impressive. Yeah, Mark hooked up an Australian company. I can't recall the name of it right now, but these guys killed it and we're so happy
really
they came
good.
Aboard. Yeah, man.
Hollywood level
yeah.
stuff.
How'd you feel when you read the script? Because that was one of the hardest things, that reading that sequence at the end, you're like, how's Mandalore going to pull this off? Me too. I was like,
I'll be honest. When we were in we built the plane, and there's only part of the plane there.
You're worried.
You know, it's pretty rickety. Yeah,
of course.
And, you know,
were.
You're doing those sequences where you're taking off and you're getting to, you know, you're being pulled to safety, and you're trying to build up the emotion and be really like serious about it, and you're giving everything you've got, and then you say cut, and you're like.
Yeah.
Is that going to be all right? Because, you know,
a riggedy
I'm not sure about how this looks.
That's why.
But it looks brilliant.
Yeah, that's why for all the aspiring actors, you got to commit, because if you got a director and a crew that know what they're doing, they'll sell it. And I got to admit, even as an actor, when we were rehearsing, I'm looking around at this riggedy little cabinet. I'm thinking, oh, Jesus. You know, can. But again, it's what's in that frame. You know, that's all that matters. And when we frame up, the little smoke and the color toning and shaking it with the leaves, voila.
Yeah, and it was like being inside a greenhouse in the middle of the Philippines in August.
Yeah.
So I almost died that day.
Yeah.
I think a few of us almost died. God, that was hot.
Well, you're the martial artist lead. How do you feel? Because you've made a lot of movies with a lot of people. How did you feel working with Steven, buddy?
No, he's amazing. Because he understands the camera.
Yeah. Well, he's a camera guy.
Completely and utterly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a camera guy.
Yeah.
And did he operate those fights in Monkey Man?
In Monkey Man, I'm not sure. I would assume yes.
Yeah.
I would assume yes.
But that was his style. And, choreography, it's choreography. A kick is a kick and a punch is a punch at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you're doing with the cinema of it.
Correct.
It's important. And playing with the speed and different angles. But we got a great Steadicam operator to come over from Thailand, didn't we?
Yeah, one of Nico's
boys. Can't remember his name.
Yeah.
Big, thick calves.
Yeah.
Kept that thing up on him all day.
He was a big boy.
And when you've got an operator like that, yeah, when you've got an operator that is in the right position every time and you can rely on him. And even like if the performer's made a mistake,
he's adjusting.
That knowledgeable that he can adjust.
Yeah.
Yeah. That really helps. There's nothing worse than doing many, many takes because the operator's not keeping up with the stunt guys.
Yeah.
Him, Nico, being a kickboxer himself, and having that experience, expertise, and Steven, and our many great stunt guys like Shane and like Alvin and different people.
Yes.
And, you know, even down to Cowboy.
Yeah.
Cowboy Cerrone just being a complete and utter stud.
He's
and just bringing that brute force to his fight scenes and everything.
Yeah, talented guy. He's got a couple of similar things to me I equate to as a personality trait. So, like, kick back, lackadaisical, and he lets the character go. And then when you roll, you know, he comes in and he does it, keeps it as organic as he can. But his fight sequence is brutal, and he has a beautiful emotional thing at the end. It's, the one thing on that note is with a lot of these podcasts I've been doing is people are responding to the group. And as you know, with all these older time great war movies, it's the group that our hero meets, and everyone loves them in those movies. And what seems to be happening is the response to like Gary and Michael and Michael Coupon and just the guys, it works. And when you walk in and you meet him with Beardy and everything, there's a great camaraderie there, and it's really coming through to the audience. I'm real happy about that because it's important. Without that, all that part of the movie would be kind of unappreciated, you know?
Great cast of actors, great performances all around. And, you know, we made a decision to make my character English because he wouldn't necessarily have been in that position with a bunch of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
But because we wanted to sell, like, how could this guy know martial arts and be English? And we came up with the idea to have him be a guy that's grown up on the streets of Hong Kong and he's the son of a wealthy textile businessman. Because the whole backstory, which isn't necessarily in the film, that my father was a war hero, mm-hmm. and I lived in his shadow. I had a bit of a strained relationship with him. When he dies and the World War II kicks off, I take it upon myself to move back to England and enlist in the RAF and become a pilot to kind of live up to my father. But it was the being in Hong Kong that allowed me to be introduced to different martial arts. So I think we could make a prequel.
We could.
About this character.
We could.
It would be an interesting story.
I think we could. And on that note, two things. One is that what me and you more or less built with Peter Shinkoda as Ito, who just absolutely destroys it, is that you're both these characters were kind of their father's sons. They both had the strong father and the military background, and that's what I love too. And we didn't hit it on the nose too much, which is great, but it's definitely there. Oh, mine too. Your father war hero, mine too. You know, your father, you know, that was a great layer, and I think the audience gets that as well.
We sent on a support mission to back up the Allies' last stand. There were 10 of us. We took off from a banana boat on the South China Sea. We were told that the Filipinos had a foothold in the peninsula, but I guess that was bad intel. By the time we arrived, the Japs had pretty much wiped everyone out. Turned out to be a bloody suicide mission. I was hit, ejected over the water, dead of night. Somehow washed up here.
So the Brits, are they coming to liberate us or what?
And you are?
Action's action, as you said, typhoons are typhoons. But one thing in most action movies that I personally feel that is missing, sometimes when it's missing, are performances. So people have asked me, what do you define different about your movies? Besides the brutality and the violence, I hope to think that I'm big on getting good performances. It's so important, and we did that. But what people don't know is, because of the typhoon and losing 2 days and swinging the set, interior Edo, then going back to the camp, drilling it out, building those tunnels so the water could... We were a day behind, so I swore to production, Mark Levinoff and Brandon Mention, because we're under a lot of pressure, especially me, because I have to deliver this for them now. I told them, we're a day behind, but on the 18th day out of 21 days, if you can recall, we did 18 pages of dialogue one night. And basically, to the audience, we shot 95% of all the interior dialogue scenes with the convicts in one night. And that night, not one raindrop, not one piece of wind. It was the most still, quiet, but serious night. There was no jokes, no one laughed, and everyone. And we shot 18 pages. But underneath, towards the 12th hour of that day, you could see everyone breaking, including me. It was such a grind because getting performance is so mental and so serious, and a bunch of actors on set. That was my most interesting evening as a filmmaker and an actor and everything, because it was a monster, but we did it. And when we did that, we knew we had the movie, buddy.
And you knew you could do it as well. You kept saying, no, don't worry, we're going to do it. We're going to make it happen.
I believed.
Because, we were behind. We were behind.
I believed we could do it. I proved that we could, And I've worked with Nico a lot, and we've done similar things before, but not at that magnitude, with that
but
many
that's
pages.
That's because you knew that Adkins would remember his lines.
No, I tell people, buddy, you're first there, your performances are great, and that's one thing about the big boys. That's why you get, that's why you get what you get, because you deliver, and you got it, and it's pressure. Piff, think it's easy, man? It's
a very stressful environment, very stressful, especially when you're beating the shit out of each other as well.
On that note, buddy, for the fans, as a question as a fan, people ask me, because I do action movies, I've done some heavy-duty shit where I've destroyed myself and done some big action, but you do the biggest. How does it feel, man, when you have such a big schedule of action and you do the lunch and you cool down and you have to mentally prep to do some really intense stuff? Do you have a method, or do you just go for it?
Try not to eat lunch, to be honest, because it'll slow you down and make you feel heavy. I'll have some fruit.
What have you famished? Just something.
Well,
to
in the
keep
back of
going,
my mind, but... I'm always like, well, at least I'm going to look ripped. So we're going to skip lunch. Yeah. I might have a banana and some blueberries and an orange.
Yeah.
But you don't want to feel heavy.
So do you?
But honestly, I prefer it if it was just like a continuous day and we don't stop on an action day.
Correct.
Because as soon as you cool down, you're risking getting injured.
Engined.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what people don't realize. That's the hardest thing to do. So my next question, Machine, is do you prep for a film like one would for a fight, actually, which I think action stars should? I try to do it because it's a grind, such a grind. You have to be in top physical condition, mentally and physically.
Yeah, I mean, kind of, yes and no. I'm always training. You know, I go home and then there's a, like after a film, you're going to try and rehab some injuries maybe. Try and get fixed up, but just continually training because your body needs to be used to the abuse of daily putting yourself through the ringer. But obviously you can't do that like consistently all the time. You need to take your foot off the gas at some point. But when the film's approaching, you've got to build up the intensity of, okay, I'm training every day and my body is used to that. If I went into a really intense movie and I hadn't been training for a bit, you know, it's going to be a shock to the system and something's going to break. But you break anyway sometimes, you know. Actually, I should have been in better shape coming into Prisoner of War than I was. I actually was doing a lot more weights than martial arts, and that's probably why I did my hammy. But my abs look good. The arms look good.
Oh, you look ridiculous. You look ridiculous, buddy. It's great. Are you excited about the release, man? Are you excited about the response from the public?
Yeah, look, I'm very excited for people to see it. Look, man, I make a lot of movies. This is my job. It's what I do. There's nothing better than having a film coming out that you're proud of. And, you know, we don't get given a lot of things to play with. You have to over-deliver with not enough money, not enough time, not enough resources. I had this opportunity with you, and to give props to Mark Klebanoff and all the other producers that went through hell and back and allowed us to deliver a great movie for the fans. I don't take this for granted. I'm very fortunate to be in this position. We both are. We want to keep doing it. And the best way we can keep doing it is delivering a good movie. And you have allowed, you have enabled that for me. I've got a movie coming out that I'm so proud of. And it's all down to you, Lewis. Thanks a lot, mate. We'll do it again.
My pleasure, buddy.
Yeah.
Thanks for the faith. And it was an honor to be in that position. I've dreamt it since Debt Collectors, and we achieved it. And that's thanks to you. And obviously a big thanks to Mark Klebanoff and Jerry Klebanoff, Brandon Menchen, Nicola De La Ferro, Stephen Rennie, and Alvin. The rest goes on. The
and great Michael, cast. Michael Copon.
Copon, yes, indeed.
He's acting in the movie too, producing as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Who else, mate? Great experience, and thanks to all involved. Gregory Siegel, thank you, sir.
Yeah, so many, we forget.
Yeah.
I've had too many blows to the head, I easily forget.
Oh, mate, yeah, it was a real pleasure, and I'm excited. I'm going to actually buy it when it comes out wherever I am, because I like doing that. I like seeing it as though the world's seeing it for the first time, yeah.
Yeah. Prisoner of War, September 19th. You're going to love it. Check it out, and me and Lewis are going to get something else going for the future, right, Lewis?
Yes, sir, we are. Cheers, guys. Thank you, Scott. It was a pleasure, buddy, and it was good to see you. And we'll be in touch, buddy. I'll reach out a week after it's released, and we'll commiserate or we'll celebrate, my brother.
All right, Lewis. Thanks, mate.